and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day. Brett, where can I find you at?
You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
And it was a busy Friday in Houston Astrosville. There's a lot to talk about today, including what the heck are they doing, Carlos Correa. We got some more information about what the Astros are likely doing at the bullpen. And then who else is suing the Astros? And there's just so much to talk about on this episode. And this is where it gets kind of where all the news starts coming. And so don't forget, you could get Locked On Astros on Podcast Nap Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Astros. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Speaking of $10 off your first order, let's talk about another organization, I guess you could say, who's suing the Houston Astros. We know that Mike Bolsinger is out there suing the Astros. We know that Jeff Luno's out there, and we know everybody's trying to sue the Astros for everything. But what is the latest suit brought against the Houston Astros?
Well, it's actually Tri-City Valley Cats has not just sued the Astros, but Major League Baseball. They call it their unilateral decision to end their affiliation with the minor league organization. They seek basically in excess of $15 million. The Valley Cats chairman, Doug Gladstone, said Friday morning that the team took the action after MLB decided to sever ties with the minor league team and a number of other affiliates around the U.S. They've been in the organization for the past 18 years. So it is definitely one of those painful cuts that you hate to see. But here's my question to you, Eric, because I'm not a lawyer. Why are the Astros included in this when this was a Major League Baseball decision? Did Major League Baseball tell the teams you get to keep the teams you want to keep? Like, you get to offer minor league contracts to those you want to offer them to, and they got to pick and choose? Is that why their Astros are included?
I think that's more of the fact that they didn't choose them. And this is just, this was, baseball was using COVID, the whole missing all last year, or not all last year, but the whole minor league season and then the shortened baseball season. And this was already in the works. This was something that what Jeff Luno had already kind of gotten in the head of Rod Manfred. And this was already in the works. It just got accelerated by what happened in 2020. And yes, it's not fair. The Valley Cats have been with the Astros for a long time, but every once in a while you're going to have to break up with somebody, and some people are get their feelings hurt. Some people are going to cry. Some people are going to sue. And I could totally see where the Valley Cats are coming from. But we don't know what the contract said. We don't know if it says that the Astros and Major League Baseball could terminate the contract at any time. We don't know that much. So, fortunately for the Astros, MLB is part of this. So I think that they'll have a lot more lawyers getting involved with this. But this is not the first minor league team, and it's not going to be the last minor league team to sue baseball after what happened. And you see all these minor league teams going to independent ball, and then you see independent teams like the Sugar Land Skeeters becoming minor league affiliates. So this is just what baseball had to do, a little shakeup. And unfortunately, the Tri-City Valley Cats were left out a little bit.
I think it's a location thing too, Eric. I mean, if the Tri-City Valley Cats were Tri-City, Texas, you know.
Or North Carolina, that's where the other two teams are.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's true. If they were kind of conglomerated together, I don't know. I just, it stinks. I didn't realize that they were a part of the Astros organization for 18 years because, you know, the AAA clubs have switched so much. I know in my history, going back to the Zephyrs and things like that in New Orleans. So, but, I guess we'll see. I'm sure this case will take a while to be settled.
Yeah, speaking of a case taking a while to be settled is the case with Carlos Correa and the Houston Astros and Carlos Correa not being able to work out an agreement before the deadline to avoid arbitration. Yes, I know the Astros and Correa can still work out something between now and February, but this is not good, and this was the biggest swing and miss between a team and a player in baseball. And that's crazy. So this is what Carlos Correa was asking for. He was asking for about $12.5 million, and the Houston Astros countered at $9.75 million. MLB trade rumors projected him to get about $8 to $10.2 million, being a third-year player. This is somebody that's dealt with a lot of injuries. So, Carlos Correa was asking for the moon, but I think after what he showed last year, he deserved it.
I would have to agree with you on the deserving part because earning it, especially from the 2020 postseason. But I think what you mentioned when you were describing what's going on with him in his first 3 years is his injuries and his lack of being on the field, especially over a year ago when he dealt with the rib and the masseuse and all those kind of odd things that happened in a short period of time, where I remember that was like Carlos Correa purgatory for Astros fans, where they were like, get rid of him. He's weak. He's soft. He's injured and all that stuff. Right. And now he's the darling of the Astros because he defended them. He went to Framber and he was really strong with him and adamant, and he hit the game winning home run in the ALCS, walk off and all that stuff. Here's the thing, Eric, he shot high. I think he'll get between 10 and 11. When it's all said and done. But what I'm wondering is this something looking ahead that we think if the Astros aren't willing to settle high in an arbitration, what are they going to do when they do settle on it and he's in his final year and they haven't signed him to an extension in the offseason this year? Do they wait until next offseason, or are they going to take a flyer on him in the hopes that Jeremy Peña comes around to be the next great shortstop in an Astros uniform?
Something I want you to kind of ponder is, according to Bob Nightingale, the Astros said they're willing to settle for $11.125 million, but they were rebuffed by Carlos Correa. So Carlos Correa said, no, I want the full amount. And after what he did last year, the way he kind of came out of his shell to defend his teammates, you can imagine that he's going to go out there and defend himself as well. And that's what the Astros are going to have to look at as they're trying to sign him to a deal. So we'll talk about what's going on behind closed doors between Carlos Correa and James Click. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But we need to talk a little bit about betting. I know the playoffs are going on, and I know you're talking about the game. What's this? I don't know what the score of the game is, but if you betted on this game and you want to know if you're going to end up winning, why don't you go to betonline.ag and beforehand, do your research. Go out there. Don't just make a blind bet. Like, I went to school the other day and they're trying to make me do a $5 bet, and we had to circle the teams and everything. I'm like, dude, it's going to take me more than just circling some things and give me $5. I need to go to betonline.ag and get the real deal. And that's what's going on. And they have the NFL games of the week and what basketball is going on and what's the odds of a game actually being played and not being canceled because of COVID issues. So guys, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Talking about betting online, talking about going to arbitration and sitting through long hearings, it makes me think, I'm getting hungry right now. So what do? I go grab a Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. It's an improved Built Bar. Like, if you thought that perfection could never be improved, well, they've done it, and they have amazing flavors. They have, some simple flavors that we don't usually talk about, like raspberry, orange, toffee, almond. These are definite home runs. They are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy, conscious guy or girl, and they help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat. Low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for keto diet. So let's look at the peanut butter. 19 grams of protein, Eric, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 net carbs. That's right. Go to BuiltBar.com, and while supplies last, you'll get a free cooler with purchase. Go to BuiltBar.com and use a promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use a promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
So let's take a look back at what's happened in Carlos Correa's brief arbitration career, which is only 2 years so far. In 2019, he went to arbitration and was awarded $5 million. Last year, he agreed to an $8 million deal to avoid arbitration. And so this year, he's asking for $12.5 million. So if you do the math, that's $5 to $3 million. So that's $3 million more between 2019 to 2020. Now he's asking for it's like $4.5 million more. So he's progressively asking for more. And that's not out of the realm of possibility. How much did the Mets have to give Lindor to avoid arbitration? And I think it was like the record high $22.5 million or something like that. It's just, I know that as Astros fans, we always compared Carlos Correa to Francisco Lindor because they're battling for that rookie of the year, that first year, and that they're always going to be kind of compared throughout the years. But it looks like Lindor has the upper hand in terms of arbitration. He may get the big mega deal. But the question is, and I know that James Click, you can kind of talk about what he said about this decision, but James Click has also said that they are having some conversations between them and Carlos Correa for extension at some point. And they want to avoid having him go to free agency. And he said, "We have nothing but utmost respect for Carlos and his group. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. I think they came very well prepared. And I think that we were very well prepared, but we just see things in the market. And that's why the system is there to help us resolve those things."
You know, he also said that obviously it's always disappointing when we can't come to a decision before we have to file the numbers, but that is why we have a process in place. And so it sounds like the Astros are still trusting the process. Like you had mentioned, both sides put their best foot forward, and I'm sure Carlos Correa built a pretty solid case. And obviously he did it with his play on the field, where I could see Carlos's team saying, "Look, we could tell you all day, but all you have to do is go back and look at the game film. All you got to do is go back and look at the box score and look what he did for Framber," you know. And so to me, Carlos Correa is one of these leaders, Eric, that I know that with his injury history, people might be hesitant to sign him to a big deal. But I have a question about this big deal stuff. We know George Springer is demanding top dollar, $175 million, right, over his next big contract.
Yeah, we don't know how many years, but yeah, that's a lot of money no matter what.
And we know the Astros didn't offer him anywhere close to that. So my question to you is this, and I'm sure listeners are wondering, if the Astros are not willing to pay someone like Springer, who has great value on and off the field, do you think that lessens the chance of them signing Correa, or do you think Correa's asking price will be significantly lower because of his injury history?
I'm not sure about that. That's a good question. I know that DJ LeMahieu, after winning he was the MVP last year, right?
Exactly.
Yes. He settled for only $90 million. And that was a steal for DJ LeMahieu. But looking at Carlos Correa, he's not going to get anywhere close to what Francisco Lindor is going to get. That's just because Lindor has had minor injuries, but it just seemed like every year Carlos Correa had that injury that kept him from becoming that star. I think we saw him kind of rising last year, and we'll have to see if he can stay healthy for a whole season and how, because especially with Springer gone, this is your team leader. This is somebody who the Astros are going to really be counting on, not just in the lineup, not just in the field, but in the locker room. I know Jose Altuve is a leader too. Yuli's a leader. There's several leaders out there, but this team is getting a little bit younger, especially with Michael Brantley and George Springer being recruited by the Blue Jays. It's just crazy that they think they can go out and get both of them. But just imagine putting that how young that team is. Imagine putting those two out in the outfield. That would make that team almost great, except they need some more pitching. And sounds like Tanaka's out there, and he's not re-signing with the Yankees because Corey Kluber is coming down. And so there's just a lot that went on this weekend. But we do have to kind of talk about a big move by the Houston Astros, and we're probably going to do that in tomorrow's episode. But let's just kind of wrap up on the arbitration numbers. So what did Lance McCullers settle for? Or Lance, what did they come to agreement with?
Lance, I think McCullers.
It's $6.5 million, right?
Yes, sorry.
It's fine.
You caught me stammering through our notes. I was like, I didn't know. Sorry.
Yeah, so he's $6.5 million. I believe he was at $4 million for 2 years because, first of all, he missed a whole year, Tommy John, and so he said, you know what, I don't deserve a raise or something. So he just said, I'll accept the $4 million. That's just what I remember correct. If it's not correct, it doesn't matter. But Aledmys Diaz signed for $3 million. And yes. So that means he's going to be out there. But my question is to kind of wrap up the show. He's had some injury issues too, and it's hard to count on him. So that's why the Astros need to find somebody like a Jeremy Peña to kind of be that all around utility guy, because the Astros do have some great players, but they do also have some ones that have some injury issues. But
yeah, I think Diaz, though, at $3 million, Eric, is a low risk, can be a high reward player if his bat produces. You remember, he is an all-star caliber player. He can get to that level. But and maybe we'll talk about this more in length in our next show. But I do know that we do have someone on the roster that could be somewhat of a utility guy that we don't talk a lot about and doesn't get a lot of recognition, but he can play the outfield. He can play the backstop behind Maldonado and Garrett Stubbs. We'll cover that more next show, but sorry about that. I was literally, every box I was looking at was not the box I needed to see. But yeah, right. Lance McCullers got that 6.5. Like you said, 11 is three. I think that's great. It just stinks that they couldn't settle up with Carlos. I just don't know if this makes the process more difficult going down the road, if he knows they're not even willing to give him an extra million or two at this point. How is he supposed to have confidence in future, future
yeah,
negotiations?
But that could be also part
money.
Of the negotiation and as a whole.
True.
They could be saying, true. All right, we'll go ahead and give you $15 million for this year. And then if we can settle for a little bit less next year or something like that, they're trying to work out something. But one interesting player note before we close out the show is Shohei Ohtani is on this list. He filed for $3.9 million, and the team countered with $3.25 million. So I know the teams like the teams be like, yeah, well, you can't pitch that much anymore, and you can't seem to stay healthy, and you can't really blah, blah, blah. But so anyway, but there's some interesting names on this list, and if you want to for some more interesting names on the list, and you want somebody to kind of give you this advice that maybe that you don't want to go to betonline.ag, you know, it would be great is if you go to listen to the Locked On Bets podcast. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college football, basketball, and NBA locks all winter long. I'm sure they'll get into baseball once that season comes around. But subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast, and we will talk to you tomorrow where we get to talk about Mr. Pedro Leon.